Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation." He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground. Only Noah was left, and those that were with him in the ark. And the waters were swelled on the earth for 150 days. The story of Noah's Ark is one of the most well-known stories from the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Old Testament. Flood stories in which an angry deity destroys the world with flood while saving a handful of the righteous are absolutely common across the ancient world and can be found in cultures as varied as the Middle East, South America, and the Pacific Islands. We know intellectually that such stories helped ancient peoples make sense of the world around them. The prevalence of such stories across cultures points to the likelihood of a global flood event in ancient times, as well as a common and primitive way of understanding the world. If the world flooded, it must be because that's how God wanted it. This story of a God who controls everything and punishes people for their wickedness is so harmful in my observation, so harmful even in these modern times, that I did not want the children present this morning for the story of Noah's Ark. We prepared it. We had a storybook and scanned illustrations, and I just thought, like, I cannot do it. I'm sure most of them know that story. They may even have heard it here in a religious education class because religious and cultural literacy is important. But to read them that story and then send them away without discussion, I couldn't do it. Instead, our UU children heard about science this morning and how and why it rains, that they may never confuse natural phenomena with the wrath of God. The idea that something called God is vengeful and punishes us is an idea that most of us here have rejected, at least intellectually. The historical origins of Unitarianism as a theology are that God is one, a unity, not a trinity. This is a rejection of the idea that God is Father, Son, and Spirit, a trinity, and it's therefore a rejection of the idea that a punishing God required the sacrificial death of a son. We reject that idea of a punishing God. Likewise, the historical origins of universalism as a theology are that we are all saved, universal salvation, that God loves us and does not punish us with floods and damnation and hell. Again, we reject the idea of a punishing God. However, it is hard for most of us to let go of a deep-seated belief that bad things happen in our lives for a reason, because we deserve them, because we did something wrong, something bad. From the simple frustration when the car won't start to the serious reflections from the hospital bed, most of us wonder at some time or another, why me? It's not just religious belief that fosters such thinking. American culture is steeped in the idea that if we work hard and make smart choices, good things will happen to us. We in the United States love individual success stories. These are the American stories. Oprah Winfrey, born to an unwed teenage mother and now one of the wealthiest people in the world. Steve Jobs dropped out of college and became one of the greatest innovators of the information age. Barack Obama, from community organizer to president of the United States. We love these stories, Cinderella, My Fair Lady, Rocky, Harry Potter. So if we believe that hard work and smart choices will result in good things, and most of us do believe that, don't we? Then the corollary is that if bad things happen to us, we must not be working hard or making smart choices. If we are self-determining, then we have ownership of all that happens to us. I witness again and again how challenged most of us are when unhappiness comes into our lives, when we cannot control what is happening. We can't cure our loved ones of illness. We can't stop our bodies from aging, from declining. We can't control whether or not we have employment at a livable wage. We can't control who lives or dies and when. We live, most of us, most of the time, with some sense of being in control of our lives. And when the day comes when we're not, when a thing happens that we can't stop and we can't change, and it's not what we wanted, we're confronted with our powerlessness. And in our despair, our frustration, our helplessness, the question comes, why me? Maybe you believe in God, maybe you don't, but it's a rare person who has never wondered, why me? This mystery, this wondering, is the weak link in a theology of self-determination. Why you? Why not you? Who are you to escape the difficulties of being alive? Who are you to avoid heartbreak? This is life, precious life. Whatever you believe about God, I know of no theology that suggests we are here to have easy and uneventful lives. Nor are we here solely to suffer. You whom pain has touched, and sorrow and shock. You whom love has touched, and friendship and wonder. Theologian Frederick Buckner writes, "Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid." Beautiful and terrible things will happen. I want to suggest to you this morning that both the beautiful and the terrible come with being alive. To feel the joy and mystery of love is to eventually feel the heartache of losing one you love. To know the satisfaction of accomplishment is to one day face failure. To enjoy good health is to someday face mortality. With sunshine comes shadows. Our work, our spiritual work, is to hold these two truths in balance. Yes, of course, our choices matter. Our actions have consequences. Of course they do. But it is also true that we cannot control everything that happens to us. The good and the bad, the joy and the sorrow, the planned and the unplanned. All the events in our lives unfold between the tension between choice and what's the opposite of choice? The word you choose to go there, the word I choose to go with choice, is a theological word. You need to decide where you think the tension is. How do we characterize that which happens beyond our control? Is it luck? Is it fate? Is it circumstance, destiny, coincidence? Is it grace? As a theist, as someone who believes there is a force for good in the world that I am comfortable calling God, I am interested in the idea of grace. Grace falls like the rain. Grace, divine grace, is the idea that we receive blessings that are unearned and undeserved. Just gifts given freely. In the same way that our suffering is unearned and undeserved, so too may be our joy. We all deserve happiness. We all deserve a good life. But the next time you are feeling particularly joyful, particularly happy, I invite you to ask yourself, why you? Why do you get to be happy when others are not? Why do you get to be healthy, to have a family, to have a job? I don't believe that God controls everything or makes everything happen. That just doesn't make sense to me. Too many bad things happen, and we have choices, and we do have some control. But I have witnessed, and I know you have too, that even from unbearable tragedy, even from unspeakable evil, good things do come. To me, this good is God at work in the world, bringing good from bad that humans create. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. Perhaps the word we are looking for, the word that is the opposite of control and choice, is flood. The good and the bad, the joy and the sorrow, the planned and the unplanned. All the events of our lives unfold in the tension between choice and tides, between choice and undercurrents, between choice and waves. Perhaps this is why ancient people told stories of flood. How better to understand the events of our lives? The waves of illness that rise up from nowhere and knock us down. The riptides of loss and grief that pull us under. The rain of worry that makes us want to stay safe at home instead of leaving for the journey. Tsunamis and whirlpools of life. Perhaps this is why rain is always just a little bit scary for many of us. It's a reminder of what we can't control. Don't be afraid. That's the real crux of it all, isn't it? To live with appreciation for the beautiful while knowing the terrible can come at any time. Don't be afraid. The goal of terrorism is to terrorize us, to keep us at home, to keep us fearful of one another, to drown us in hate and violence. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things have happened. Don't be afraid.